Hey there, Carm Capriotto here. Now, ever wonder where the money in your business goes? Today, we'll be discussing profits and cash flow with Chris Cotton, who is a certified profit first professional.
It almost helps you write a policy and procedure for cash management. And once you have that and you're making a profit, then you've got the good life. You've got the business you wanted and not the hobby you have.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriotto here, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Now, Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the upcoming 2020 Napa Expo. Are you going? Have you booked? Well, you must join Napa in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020, to discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry. Put this on your calendar right now. This is a no-miss event. Contact your Napa store to learn more. There isn't a day that goes by that we don't learn about some new technology. You know, each day there's new solutions to old problems. The aftermarket evolves and the marketing trends shift. And this podcast will continue to deliver forward-thinking ideas from the industry's essential players. Now, if you have a thirst for knowledge, be part of our ecosystem. Subscribe, remarkableresults.biz/insider. Find today's show page at remarkableresults.biz/E445 and also find a link to Chris Cotton's email to grab your copy of Profit First, and there's some other links discussed in the podcast there too. Okay, let's talk to Chris Cotton. He's a business coach, a former shop owner, and a certified Profit First professional. Do you remember my interview with author Mike Michalowicz, episode 421? Well, he wrote the book, Profit First. Chris, I believe, is the first certified Profit First professional in our industry. I've told you before that the Profit First concept is perfect for shop owners who struggle managing their cash, their profits, or let alone their entire business. Chris offers up a copy of the Profit First book, and find that link on the show notes page. Now, if you've ever wanted to know where your money goes, ever had a tough time paying your bills, meeting your tax obligations, or ever held cashing your paycheck because you knew it would bounce? Well, please give this episode your due. Hey, a warm welcome to Chris Cotton from AutoFix SOS. Hello, Chris.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, I am absolutely fantastic. Couple of reasons you're here. You know I'm a big fan of Mike Michalowicz. You also know that I did an episode with him, episode 421. So if anyone loves what Chris and I are going to talk about, write that down, episode 421. Go to your podcast subscription player, find 421, and listen to it after you listen to Chris and I chat about stuff. Because not only is Chris a business coach, he is a certified Profit First professional. Wow. What motivated you to do that?
You know, people are always asking me what's new, what's coming up in the industry, things like that. And I'd read his Pumpkin Plan book, and there was an excerpt in there, I think, about Profit First. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go ahead and order his next book. So I ordered it and read it. And in the very beginning, it really resonated with me. And I was like, where was this book when I had my shops? Although I should have been able to be smart enough to come up with the principles in there, I just didn't. And it's not how I was taught how to run my business. And I wished I'd had it back then, but I didn't. And now I want to share that. I bring that into my coaching of shops now, bring that aspect into it as well as the shop coaching. It goes really, really well hand in hand with what we're doing.
So glad to hear you say what you said just a second ago. You says, I should have known, but I couldn't figure it out, and it was right there. And how many sleepless nights did I have that should have prompted me in my gut to figure this out, but it didn't?
It should have been there, but it wasn't. You know, you get in your business and you're too busy running your business, you don't see the individual trees for the forest. And I feel like I really feel kind of stupid, actually, not putting this into practice.
You and 80,000 other shop owners that are out there, or 200,000 shop owners. So when I picked up his book and I read it, it was on page 22. It was very early on in the book that I realized that this was a perfect book for the aftermarket to read. And I want to read this paragraph to you to help set the tone. It says, it's our natural desire as entrepreneurs to find problems and fix them. This is how we manage money. When we have enough money in the bank, we think we don't have money problems, and so we focus on other challenges. When we see that we don't have enough money in the bank, we go on red alert and take immediate action to fix our money problems, usually by trying to collect revenue quickly or selling a big ticket item or some combination of the two. Now, doesn't that describe the shop owner of today?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've kind of been there, done that. This is me raising my hand on a podcast, but you go through the sales floor if you're not actively on the sales floor and you're like, sell, 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 and just kick the bucket and pass it down the line. And then you get all the checks and everything and you're like, okay, everything's good and off we go.
Why Profit First? Why did you become a coach? What resonates with you that you want to bring this to the industry?
Well, I love coaching. First of all, that's my passion in life. I really, really like helping others. I've struggled as a shop owner. I've been successful as a shop owner, and I want to, you know, help pass that along. For those that have read the book, there's a passage in there. He talks about his Valentine's Day and going home, and his daughter brings out the piggy bank. Well, I had a similar Valentine's issue. Took our taxes to the accountant, and the Friday, for some reason, I think it fell on a Saturday or Sunday, the Friday before Valentine's Day, the accountant finishes up our taxes and says, here, you owe the IRS $18,000. And I'm like, that can't be. First, I don't have $18,000 to send the IRS. And so I sat on it all weekend. I'm sure it was probably the most miserable Valentine's Day my wife's ever had. Although I tried to make it as best as I could. So I, you know, all weekend I sat on it, and then Monday morning, first thing I throw it on the desk. I'm like, hey, we got to figure out how we're going to pay this $18,000. You know, in reality, our profit that year was probably $90,000 to $100,000 on the bottom line, but I never had that money sitting in the bank. You know, I always wanted to go into the accountant or the bank's office and be like, okay, I'm here for my $100,000. I just want to take it out. I want to take it home, roll in it for a little bit, and then I'll bring it back. But I didn't run my business that way. I never paid myself first. I never put the profit in the business first. I always just paid all the bills. And then as long as all the bills were paid, you know, I moved on and I never set that money aside.
You know, Chris, that story, I'll guarantee you it's repeated each and every April when guys say, I don't have the money. Well, you made it. You earned it. You owe taxes on it. And then the shop owner says to the accountant, well, where did it go? That's the big hit upside the head. If you look seriously at your balance sheet and your profit and loss statement, you can find out where it went. Those are the learning curves that I think forces a small business entrepreneur to become a better financial manager. And again, as I go back to the value of profit first, the concept is perfect. Pay yourself first, and then whatever's left in the bucket at the end, you have to pay bills out of. Now, if you run out of that money during the year, then your bills are too high.
Right. You got to fix whatever the underlying problem is. Exactly.
So I'm a client. What do we do first?
Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to take a look at where things are going. I was going to do it a little bit later in the podcast, but for those of you that haven't read the book, you can send me an email and I'll send you out a digital version. It's all the copies. If you like to read on your Kindle or whatever thing you have, you can get it, read the book. It's chris@autofixsos.com. So it's chris@autofixsos.com. And just put in there copy of Profit First, and I'll just attach it and send it right out. One of the first things we do is we read the book, and then one of the things he talks about in there is setting up the guardrails for this process. You know, we don't want to start big, because anytime you start talking change with a shop owner, one of the things that I fell into early on is coaching is I'm like, okay, we're going to change this and this and this and this and this. And then he starts going out to his staff and he's like, okay, we're changing this and this and this and this. And then everybody panics because it's too much change. So after we talk about the concepts of Profit First, which is eating off of smaller plates and things like that, then we set up the guardrails. And the guardrail is the accounts that we put into place, the separate accounts.
Chris, I got to stop you for a moment. That eating out of smaller plates is huge in my mind. It is like one of the greatest principles of the book. And after I read it, I started to be sure I was eating from smarter plates, even at the dinner table.
Me too.
Because I said, if the concept of the book is right and it says you can lose weight if you eat off of smaller plates, that's what I started.
Exactly, me too. And I do that now. I'm like, okay, you know, smaller plates. And to reference the book, he's sitting there, you know, having his pity party, as I like to call it. And he's sitting there watching, flipping through channels. He comes across this nutritionist or whatever, and they're giving him statistics on how in America we went from like a 7-inch plate to a 9-inch plate to 11-inch plate. And we really need to go back down in size. And that's when the weight loss comes. It's not that dieting and everything is this new concept, just like Profit First is not a new concept. It's just been put in a format in a way that we can all understand it and really dumbs it down for us that we're like, oh, it's so simple, it's easy. And then we dive in and start going. So once you get those plates and slow yourself down, so to speak, and pay more attention to it, then you're off and running. I see a lot of shops that have a lot of policies and procedures in place, but they don't have a policy and procedure in place about cash management. And so you could, and that's what this is. This is a cash management tool. And it almost helps you write a policy and procedure for cash management. And once you have that and you're making a profit, then you've got the good life. You've got the business you wanted and not the hobby you have.
You know, we live each and every quarter to pay taxes. Sometimes we prepay our quarterlies, and we also have to pay sales tax. I mean, I think almost every state has a sales tax, doesn't it? We harbor the state's money. And how many guys get into trouble? I can't pay sales tax. I can't pay the IRS. I can't pay my supplier. I can't pay my rent. This is the exact discipline people need in order to get out from under that weight.
I don't understand why it's that difficult, but I would say when shops come to me, I would say almost 70% of them are having sales tax issues. And that money comes in. And so one of the things that I teach is as soon as that money comes in, at the end of every week, you put that in a separate account. Get it out of your account. Put it over here. That money does not belong to you. And trust me, if you have the county's or the state's tax money, eventually you're going to come knocking on your door and want it. And you don't want to be the guy with the big orange sticker on your door where they shut you down because you didn't have the money to pay for it. Or they garnish your account that's already zeroed out anyway. It just boggles the mind. So one thing I like to focus on is get the sales tax money out. It's not yours. Don't spend it. And then we'll fix the rest of it.
Hey, it's Carm, and I'm back to talk Napa Auto Care and auto tech training. Now, as a repair shop owner, you know technical training is essential in the ever-changing world of automotive technology. Or as one auto care owner put it, train or you'll phase yourself right out of business. Thanks to Napa Auto Tech, technicians can keep their skills sharp and their Napa know-how up to date by attending hands-on classroom-style training for almost every vehicle make and model. You can choose from classes in diagnostics, heating and cooling, electrical electronics, brake systems, ignition and fuel systems, plus a whole lot more. Napa Auto Tech is the highest quality training the industry has to offer, and it's presented by experienced instructors who are ASE Master Certified technicians. Now, some have owned their own shops, and they all have a detailed automotive background. The trainers consistently receive excellent ratings from the technicians who attend. Even after the class is over, techs can access course information online with ClassPass. So when questions come up later, they can use ClassPass to get the answers 24/7 from any computer with an internet connection. Now, what's more, Napa Auto Tech has been accredited by ASE's Continuing Automotive Service Education Program, reviewed against industry standards, and approved by peers. Don't just take my word for it. Auto Care Center owners who have taken advantage of Auto Tech training say that well-trained technicians are helping to increase their shop's repair capability and raise bay productivity. Now, that results in fewer comebacks, more satisfied shop customers, and reduced technician turnover. It's hard to beat that. Your servicing Napa store can tell you even more about the benefits of Auto Tech training, plus the many other reasons to become part of the Napa family with over 17,000 Napa Auto Care Centers from coast to coast, making it the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. It's a great concept. I mean, the smaller plates, the whole idea is for Profit First is to have these different bank accounts where you're allocating not only the profit that you should be making inside the business, but all the other major obligations that will never go away. It is a cash flow management system. And I think that's a scary word to a lot of shop owners. Cash flow management. Ooh,
Yeah, because shop owners are so used to, okay, I have 14 bills here on my desk. I have the cash to pay 10 of them. Let me prioritize which 10 I'm going to pay. And then I pay them all, and then I have zero cash in my account. There's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing. And so one of the things, and granted, whatever we're talking about, whatever we speak about today, all shops are different. That's why they all have different labor rates or should have different labor rates. Everybody's cash flow management is going to be a little bit different. It's going to need a little bit of tweaking. But in the book, he talks about, you know, as your revenue comes in, it goes into the income account. And then just like your vendors do with you, for those people that are out there or the people that pay you, like you have that fleet company that only pays every 30 days or every 45 days. I think we should be a little bit more like them and being like, okay, we only pay on the 10th or the 25th or the 19th of the month or whatever. And once we establish that pattern, the income comes in, we pay our bills on the 10th, we pay our bills on the 25th. Or we pay them every week, whatever that is, but establish the pattern and then pay accordingly. And it'll make your life so much easier.
Hey, Chris, for the shops that you're coaching and you're working with as a certified Profit First professional, is it working for them?
It is working for them. You know, there's a lot of case studies out there for all types of businesses, but I'm sure there's some people that have read the book a year or so ago that they're doing it, and I'd love to hear from them. Probably you would too. The ones that I've started with, so I just got my certification in October, so we're still kind of in the infancy stage of this, but every shop we've got it in and implemented it in, it's working. We're paying our sales taxes on time. We're taking, you know, our profits first, and we're setting ourselves up to have a great year.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a Profit First 20 group?
It would. I'd love to put one together as a way to bring all these people up together, and then they can all work on it. You know, when I do my 20 groups, I do, you know, accountability sections. So I have like these four shop owners work together and these four shop owners. So they work collectively in the 20 group, but they also work in a little bit smaller groups. And that way they can help each other, answer questions, ask questions. And then also it kind of gives them a kick in the butt. Well, everybody else in the group's done it, but me, you know, what's my issue? And get out there and get it done.
You know, there's this concept called Parkinson's Law, Chris. And, you know, and I love the toothpaste analogy, and I think it's so perfect for this. Can you explain a little bit of that?
I can. And so, you know, I used to carry a tube of toothpaste when I spoke about this, but now I'm just this morning, I was sitting there brushing my teeth and I'm like, hey, I have the perfect story for this now. So anyway, in his book, he talks about toothpaste and Parkinson's Law. And for those of you that don't know Parkinson's Law, it starts out saying that if you have a project due in 6 months, it'll take you 6 months to do. Or if you have a project due in a year, the same project will take you a year to do. So whatever that is, it's going to take it. Plus, it also talks about how the less you have of something, the more you'll stretch it out. So what he talks about is toothpaste. And so I'm sitting there this morning, I'm like, oh, you know, I remember back in the day when I was a shop owner, we had, you know, our blue RVT and the red RVT and everything like that. And you'd hand the guy a tube and you'd be like, make this last. And so in my mind, I'm picturing this guy in the very beginning, you know, he's like squirting it all over everything. He's got some on his elbow and everywhere. And so as he gets more to the end of that tube, he's like, oh, I better make this last a little bit longer. So he's taking it out and he's just like barely putting a little bit here, a little bit there, and he's using it, stretching out. And that's what Parkinson's Law is. It's, you know, the less of something we have, the more we'll make it last.
And how it ties in my opinion, tell me if I'm wrong, if you implemented Profit First and you had this expense account with money in it, not like the old days where all the money was in one account, but a separate account, you'd look at that thing and saying, I've got all these bills to pay. You've allocated everything else, sales tax, profit, everything else is allocated. And now here's the mother of all expense accounts, and you say, how can I make that last?
Right. And so you're like, okay, who gets paid? Who doesn't get paid? Or the aha is what can I do without? What do I have in here that I don't need that's not necessary to run in the business? And how do I get rid of it? You know, several years ago, my wife and I went through a Dave Ramsey class, which is another whole different section. And that boggled my mind. Again, it's nothing new, but it's just something simple. I personally haven't had a credit card in 10 years. We only have debit cards. And if we don't have it, we don't spend it. That's a great way to run your business, is to if you have X amount of dollars, you spend it. And then I, where I was going with that was, is it really thrills me when I'm able to cut something out and not spend that money anymore. You know, if it's a bill that's come in and I don't really need it, I'm like, ooh, I kind of giggle like a child, you know, what playing Barbies or whatever off in the corner. I really like finding ways not to spend money.
The mark of a good business is when you could pay all your bills and feel really good about it, that, you know, all of your vendors that you have great relationships with, and it doesn't matter if it's the electric company, the gas company, but they're paid. You've got money set aside for yourself. Sales tax is accounted for. IRS, everybody's accounted for. And all the bills are paid. And there's some money left over in the expense account. Not the general fund. And that's the whole concept of profit first is the allocations. What a feeling. I mean, you talk about taking stress home. This is such a fabulous discipline to relieve the financial pressure on the entrepreneur so that he could worry about so many other things for his business.
Absolutely. So one of the things we're coming, you'd asked how this worked. We did our first disbursements the end of March, and we're getting ready to do our second disbursement. So when you have Profit First quarterly, this money that you set aside in the profit or wherever at the end of the quarter, you're able to take that for yourself. And so a lot of them are like, you know what, Chris, my business is running better. And I'm actually, you know, we wanted to go on a cruise. We wanted to go on a plane trip. One of the things that I did with my first disbursement is my wife, not recently, but her family's from Ireland. So for this Valentine's Day this year, where I'm taking the family to Ireland and Scotland for 3 weeks at the end of the year. And it's only because I set that money aside and was able to use it to do that. And that's a great feeling.
So you need people in your life as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, to help you. And I think the phenom that's going on inside the automotive aftermarket is coaches, business coaches, consultants, networking is really the wave and the way things get done today. I've got over 500 episodes. I speak to coaches and shop owners all the time, even off the record. I mean, just not always with the mic on. And every one of them seems to say that the industry is trending way positive, but there's still a long way to go. So it's great to see that you're getting a specialty. And I guess I just want to encourage people to stop and find themselves a business coach if they feel that they're struggling in any way. I mean, this is to me, I think, a strong axiom in the industry. Got to have a coach.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it's bravado, machismo, whatever it is. I think people, as shop owners, they internalize a lot. I know when we first bought our shop, I'd come home for dinner and the wife would be like, hey, you know, how was your day? And all I could remember was all the bad things that happened in the day. I didn't remember the 45 good customers we had. I only had remembered the two bad ones. And that's all I shared. And then it got to the point to where she's like, don't tell me anymore. So then, you know, as a shop owner, I kept it all in and didn't share. And I don't think as an industry, we share too much. I think people need to realize this. The guy on my side, my customers on my side of the town are not going to the guy on the other side of the town or the guy on the other corner of town. We can all get together as owners and talk and share, and, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. So there's nothing wrong with having a business coach. You have, look at all the athletes, successful athletes that are making, you know, $80, $200 million a year. How many people do you think they have on their team getting them to where they're at? Find a mentor, find a business coach, find somebody to share your struggles with, and that will help you. In a perfect world, I'd love everybody to be my client, but I'm only one guy, so it can't happen. So if somebody doesn't come to me and they go to another coaching company or another 20 group, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they got the help they needed or got a start.
Most people are just never ready to do it.
Everybody thinks they're not ready, but if you keep thinking you're not ready, you will never be ready. So I tell everybody, jump in. Don't hesitate. Jump in with both feet. For those of you that are married, you were never ready to get married. You were never ready to have a kid. You were never ready to buy your first business, but you still jumped in and did it. You know, I talk to people all the time. I talk to people as clients. People call me and say, hey, Chris, you know, I'm thinking about a pay plan. Great. Reach out to somebody. Jump in. Ask for help. Steve Harvey's got a great clip out there on YouTube about jumping in. Just do it. Do it now. Do it today. If you've been hesitating, call me. Call somebody else in the industry. Get with somebody and do something. Don't lay down and do the same thing you've always done. Do something. Do something new. Help yourself out.
Well, I'm working on a Town Hall Academy on Profit First. And I've gotten to find out throughout the industry that there's an awful lot of shop owners that have implemented this. They've read the book and they said, hey, this is right for me. They probably haven't hired you yet, Chris, as a coach, but you're new at doing this since October. And would you come on and be on that panel since you are, quote unquote, the certified guy and and help us make that conversation have a ton of value?
I would love to. Whenever you're ready, you just let me know and we'll make it happen.
Thanks. Anything else? Any other final words that you could provide our audience to appreciate the value of this concept, Profit First?
Well, I would say, you know, again, there's no quick fix, but you just have to get in and get started with it. You can think about it all you want. You can overanalyze it, but, you know, get in, jump in with both feet, trust it, trust the process, and get it done.
And remember, this is no different than when we were growing up and there was an envelope for church, there was an envelope for school, there was an envelope for the vacation, and the monies would come home, be allocated into different either jars or envelopes. And that's how so many grew up in our industry. And all Profit First is really that kind of discipline.
Absolutely. And again, it's not hard, but you have to get started. The starting is the hardest part.
Chris Cotton, AutoFixSOS.com. Hey, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, you're welcome. I loved it. Anytime. Anytime I can help out the industry.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.